from KQED.
This is the California Report. I'm John Sepulveda. We begin in Palm Springs, where a tour bus crashed and killed at least 13 people on Sunday. The bus was carrying tourists returning from the Red Earth Casino near the Salton Sea, according to the California Highway Patrol's Jim Abley.
I will tell you, the speed of the bus was so significant that when it hit the back of the big rig, the trailer itself entered about 15 feet into the bus. So you can see that it was a substantial impact.
At least 31 other people are injured. An investigation into the crash is ongoing. We go now to the California-Oregon border. It's there that locals, many of whom have competing interests, came up with a plan for the largest river restoration in U.S. history. This plan for the Klamath River is now before federal regulators, as Molly Peterson reports.
Our metal power boat is puttering near a bend in the Klamath River. Morning fog pours off the hills against a flat gray sky, but with binoculars, we can see a fight up around a bird's nest.
Osprey fighting two bald eagles right up here on the tree on the right. The eagles are perched in the tree. The osprey's dive bombing them.
That's Mike Belchick. He's a fisheries biologist for the Yurok tribe, whose lands extend 44 miles from the Pacific coast inland along the river's curves. He claps loudly to break up the birds.
They both live around here and they fight all the time.
People along the Klamath once fought bitterly over this river, like those birds, but that all started to change in 2001. First, the Federal Bureau of Reclamation cut off water supplies to almost all irrigators upriver to protect endangered fish, including salmon. Farmers lost their crops and protested. The next year, Belchick says low river flows were deadly.
We started getting calls about dead fish. There's tens of thousands of fish. Rotting fish, big 20-pound salmon, four deep on all the shorelines. The smell, more than the look. It smells like death.
No one would have believed it at the time, but those lost fish and crops laid the foundation for dam removal. Over years of negotiation among upriver and downriver interests, farmers and tribes in two states, a compromise emerged. With broad political support, the power company that owns the dams, Pacific Corp, has applied to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to give up its licenses so that four dams, three in California, can be blasted and jackhammered away. An estimated $450 million, about half coming from California, will fund removal and river recovery.
There's two types of prayers, one for appreciation and one for asking for something. And so this prayer here is a little bit of both. Waklau.
Supporters from all over the Klamath Basin came to Yurok country, downriver, for a signing ceremony in April. Governor Jerry Brown said the goal now is sustainability.
Not for the next election cycle, but for eons and thousands of years. So that's the significance here. We're starting to get it right after so many years of getting it wrong.
The Klamath has been like a lot of Western rivers, a workhorse serving the people around it. Inland and upriver, water goes to irrigation projects, farms, and grazing in two states. Over the last century, four dams harnessed its energy. The oldest is Copco One Dam, 132 feet steep between rock walls trailing bright green moss. Cheap, reliable hydropower made here at Copco helped upriver irrigators pump water to crops and cattle. And Pacific Corp spokesman Bob Gravely says the company has made money for shareholders.
Removing the dams is not something the company set out to do.
But environmental laws put on the books after dams were built changed the equation. Gravely says Pacific Corp would have spent hundreds of millions of dollars updating them to protect fish and water quality.
This is the least cost outcome for our customers that we have.
It's not often that a private company seeks to get rid of its own dams. Pacific Corp and a broad coalition brought the question to Congress 5 years ago. But nothing happened. Petitioning federal regulators to get the dams removed is kind of an end run around Congress and its politics. Still, it's not a done deal. Fiercely independent rural Siskiyou County will object to regulators. 80% of voters oppose dam removal, period. Siskiyou Supervisor Grace Bennett says she's suspicious of the financial risks of such a major change.
We just want answers, and we want to be not held responsible when this, and I'm going to say this, grand experiment, which we feel we're in the middle of, doesn't turn out the way they want. And they walk away and leave us doing lots of damage to our county.
Even if the dams are removed, two major questions remain for the Klamath Basin: how to share water and how to help fish recover. Local stakeholders are starting to hash out those questions now. Congress could still get in the way of compromise. Oregon rancher Becky Hyde is sitting in the talks.
I don't think that a healthy Klamath is solely dependent on whether or not the United States Congress decides to pay attention. We choose how to treat each other while we wait for them to start making wise choices.
In this basin, those choices are personal, says Oregon alfalfa farmer Gary Derry. After the water shut off in 2001, his son moved away. Now his younger daughter is weighing the same choice.
I don't want to see my kids leave. I don't want to see anybody down the river having their kids leave. I want to get back to where we have a river community, top to bottom, that can survive.
If regulators approved dam decommissioning, hundreds of miles of river would open up for fish and people. COPCO 1 would go silent in 4 years. For the California Report, I'm Molly Peterson on the Klamath River.
Tom Hayden came to prominence as a leader in the Students for a Democratic Society. He would help draft the Port Huron Statement, a document considered radical at the time as it called for an end to racism and capitalism. Of course, Hayden himself was known as a radical, both because of his trips to Vietnam to protest U.S. involvement in that country's war, as well as his marriage to Jane Fonda. Yet Hayden worked for much of his life from within the system to change the Democratic Party and California politics. He led the state's Solar Cal Council to promote solar development. Later, he would win a seat to the California Assembly and the Senate. Last year, as he was battling a long illness, he explained to the California Commonwealth Club what political work kept him going.
I recognize that, you know, my time that remaining to me is truly limited, and it's not in my hands. So I try to think carefully about what I can do. I have a special interest in going as far as possible with the California clean energy programs and building California as a model for the International Conference on Dealing with Climate Change.
California's climate policies were cited as a model during the historic Paris Climate Agreement that was reached earlier this year. We remember Tom Hayden and his impact on policy and politics. He died Sunday in Santa Monica. He was 76 years old.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Endowment, working to achieve health and justice for all. Learn more at calendow.org. Barracuda Networks, security, archiving, and backup solutions for physical networks and public cloud services such as Microsoft Azure and Office 365. Learn more at barracuda.com/KQED. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
I'm John Sepulveda, wishing you a great day. This has been the California Report for Monday, October 24th, a production of KQED Public Radio.